good to be back with back in the house of the Lord. Let's begin our time together this evening by hearing the words of the Apostle Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's rise and sing our opening hymn. If you want to use the hymn book, it's 417. As always, it's up on screen. How lovely are the feet, how lovely are on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Sorry about that. That's the first mistake of the year. How lovely are on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And of course, the chorus says, our God reigns. The words come from Isaiah. Let's rise and sing our opening hymn this evening. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads together and join our hearts together in prayer this evening. God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've been singing as years come and years go and new years begin. Always you're on the throne and our God reigns, and we worship and adore you this evening. And we thank you for bringing us and gathering us, assembling us into the at the church here this evening. We pray you'd speak afresh to us from your word. Thank you for the blessing we've already received this day from the young man that was with us this morning. We do pray you'd bless him and his work and his ministry out at Aberdeen and in Portlethen. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us to go forward and serve you, Lord. You do have a plan, and help us, Lord, to be obedient to your will and and help us, Lord, to go forward seeking to serve you at the start of this new year. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon the life of the church here, and we pray you'd give us wisdom and guidance for the days that lie ahead and that are upon us. Heavenly Father, be with those who are not able to be with us here this evening. Some may be laid aside through ill health, some going through difficult situations, Lord, and circumstances, some suffering bereavement, Lord, and some laid aside through whatever means, not able to get out to the house of the Lord. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be near to them and let them know your loving presence with them, Lord, whenever they may be. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. You give us life, you give us health and strength, you give us many good things to enjoy. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we take your many blessings for granted. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, and thank you, Lord, as we've been remembering over the Christmas time, it's just passing. We just thank you, Lord, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. When the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your Son. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of mankind, who came for sinners like us and lived a perfect life and offered up his life freely for sinners like us, that we might have salvation, Lord, that we might know the joy of sins forgiven and a hope now in this life and in the life to come. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray that we, your people, would be Spirit-filled people. We pray, Lord, that we'd be seeking you, Lord, seeking to be filled with the Spirit, and seeking you, Lord, and reading, Lord, and hearing what you have to say from your word, and speaking to you in prayer, Heavenly Father. Make us a praying people, and help us, Lord, to seek blessing, we pray. And Lord, we do pray that you will come and visit us here, Lord. It's 99 years since there was last a major visitation of the Spirit, Lord, in this northeast of Scotland. We thank you, Lord. You haven't changed. You're the God who can act again, can do it again. Our God reigns, and thank you, Lord, that you can change the situation around, Lord. We do pray that you'd come and renew and revive your church, we pray, all for the glory of your name, and that many of the younger generation, but older generations too, Lord, that bow the knee, Lord, and confess Jesus Christ as Saviour and as Lord. We do pray for this, Heavenly Father, and help us to wrestle with you, Lord, to seek your face, Lord, and to know your blessing. Lord, speak to us afresh from your word this evening, and thank you for bringing us here into the house of the Lord. Again, Lord, we're just mindful of what's going on in the world situation just now. We pray for restraint and the tensions between the US and Iran, Lord. You know what's happened there, and you know the things that are being said, the threats that's being made. We do pray, Lord, that you'd intervene, and that you'd bring a peaceful solution. We pray for restraint, we pray for wisdom, Lord. We just thank you that your hand is on this situation. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Speak to us, Lord, and bless our time together. May we know that it was good to be here tonight in the house of God. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Second hymn this evening, then, it's 807 in the hymn book. Oh, happy day, that fixed my choice. Let's rise and sing together. That fixed my choice on Thee, my Saviour and my God. Thou wilt know I have rejoiced, and hear its raptures all abroad. Happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Hallelujah, happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. Come to confess the voice divine.
On this blissful sanctuary, nor ever from my Lord depart, with him of every good possessed. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Hallelujah, happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. I cannot hear the solemn vow that the renewed shall daily till in my latest hour I bow, and bless in death the one so dear. Oh happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Hallelujah, happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Just one or two announcements before we read the scripture this evening. Do make sure you get a copy of the new bulletin. It's been prepared, it'll keep you up to date. It's just, will remind you as well of the forthcoming anniversary and the 1st and 2nd of February, just a month away. Do pray with these meetings in mind, as the boys are coming over from Shetland. Remember, they were here a few years ago, so do remember those meetings in your prayers. The bulletin will keep you up to date with other things going on in the church. Just one notice, it's not on the bulletin. If you keep up a BMS box, they're now due in, and they're due to be handed in to Jim Smith. So BMS boxes are now due in to Jim Smith. Just a mention about the boy that was here, shouldn't call him a boy, the man that was here, the young man that was here this morning, Aaron Harvey. I just had a little chat with him afterwards. Do remember him in your prayers. He's based at the Aberdeen Christian Fellowship, but he's also pioneering a church planting work. This last couple of years, they've been trying to plant a church in Port Lethen. So I had a little chat with him about the work. It's hard work. He's involved with lots of things there. There's about a 20 going there. And in fact, when he left us on Sunday morning and went home for his dinner, he was going to have a service at Port Lethen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So he's been a busy man today. But do pray for Aaron and the work in Aberdeen and in Port Lethen. Very busy, and hopefully, God willing, we'll have him back again sometime to speak for us again and maybe tell us a little bit about the work. Right, I think these are all the notices I need to give you for this evening. Let's come to the scripture then. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, reading from verse 22 to 32. We're looking at Jacob this evening. Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob wrestling with God. So Genesis 32, reading from verse 22. Read these words. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. You have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." And Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Amen. Let's sing our third hymn this evening then, 672, 672, a good old one. "There is a name I love to hear, I love to speak its worth," 672. I've got the wrong number. I've got the New Redemption here, sorry. 672, and 672 if you're using the black book. I don't think anyone is, though. It's 216 in the hymn book, so sorry, Anne. Have a chat. So we've got it. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
A name I love to hear, I love to sing its voice. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood that saves every pain. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. 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 The sweetest name on earth. Jesus, the name I love so well, that the blood washed from sin and sorrow free.
Well, it's true to say, sometimes it's hard to admit, but we do always make mistakes. Do you ever wish you could go back in time and undo your mistake, though? Do you ever wish you could go back in time and maybe even rewrite the past? What would you do if you had a time travel machine, you could go back in time? Would you undo mistakes that you've made or other people have made? Would you maybe stop yourself from some rash actions or even making rash comments and unwise comments to people? I don't know if you're familiar with the Back to the Future series of films. They're repeated regularly and repeated again over this Christmas time, aren't they? But in that series of three films, the hero, aided by a nutty professor, travels back and forwards in time in a car, a special car. And when he travels back in time, the actions he performs then will affect life in the present. And then he realizes he's made a mistake and he has to undo and change things again. So, but by the end of the series of films, everything's back to normal. In fact, life's even better. He's managed to amend and correct a few things. So he's been able to undo some of the mistakes that's been made in the past. But of course, it's just a bit of science fiction. Fiction. Not real. The truth is, fact is, you cannot rewrite the past. But, however, you can never rewrite the past, but you can look forward and write the next chapter. Maybe you look back in 2019 and you think, oh, I wish I hadn't said that, wish I hadn't done that. This could have been done better. You can't undo it, but you can look ahead here at the start of 2020 and you can look ahead and we're writing the next chapter, aren't we? You can't undo the past. Maybe you wish at times you could. That may have been the thoughts of Jacob. When we come and we see him in Genesis chapter 32. Many years ago, Jacob had left his brother Esau. And he'd left his brother Esau in a murderous frame of mind. Why was that? It's a story that I'm sure many of us will know. It's in Genesis chapter 27 where he tricks his father and pretends to be Esau's father. His eyesight was poor and he stole Esau's blessing. And he tricked his father, then stole Esau's blessing, so he had to run. And Esau was determined if he ever got hold of him, you know, he would kill him, he would take his life. Also, recently, Jacob had been in conflict with his uncle Laban. And now there's a new crisis looming. So it's been difficult, there's been harsh learning experiences for Jacob, but God has been dealing with him. So he's been in conflict with his brother Esau, he's been in conflict with his uncle Laban. Now a new crisis was looming as he returns to the country that he left 20 years before. And he's about to meet his brother again. A lot's happened in that time. Jacob now has much family. What's going through Jacob's mind? Will his brother still hold that grudge against him after all this time? Will Esau harm his wives and children? All these thoughts and maybe many others were running through his mind. Jacob prepared then as he was about to meet his brother. He took some wise precautions. He sends a gift. We read earlier in the chapter in Genesis 32. Verses 3 to 8, there's a great offering sent ahead from Jacob's flocks and his livestock. We also read in Genesis 32 that He instructed, verse 17, instructed the first, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you to whom you belong, where you're going, and whose are these ahead of you, then you shall say they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us. And he instructed a second and third party to do the same thing. So he was sending this great offering to Esau, and he was trying to soften him up, really, to get ready to meet with Esau. But there's also a more important part of his planning, because he was before the Lord in prayer. Verse 9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. He prays, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. And then he reminds God, as he prays, you see, he's acknowledging his unworthiness before God, and he's also acknowledging his fear, and he's acknowledging that he needs God's help for this challenge. And also he claims the promise of God in verse 12. You said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he, as he prays, he's taking the word of God and the promises of God seriously. So it's an important part of the planning. You can send all these offerings to try and soften the blow, soften them up, get Esau, try and soften Esau up. Be prepared to meet Esau, but he prays, he acknowledges, he's humble before God, he acknowledges his unworthiness before God for the blessings that are upon him, acknowledges he's afraid, and he needs God's help. He reminds God of the promises that God has made to him. He is learning to lean, as the old hymn says. As he faces the situation, he's not going to rely on his own cunning and his own smartness and his cleverness. That's the kind of thing he did before, when he tricked his father, when he stole Esau's blessing, and when he tricked his uncle Laban. That's the kind of thing he would have done before. He's a schemer. But now he's leaning on God. Leaning on God. And see Jacob this evening. First of all, he's going to get alone with God. And then, as he gets alone with God, he's going to wrestle with God. And after he's wrestled with God, he knows the blessing of God. So that's where we're going this evening. Let's look at Jacob first of all as he gets alone with God. Verses 22 to 24. So that same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else he had. And he was left alone. See how Jacob withdraws from the family. You can see also that he goes at night, the same night. Why would he go at night? Well, at night time, of course, when it's dark, it's quieter. It's been unusually quiet, hasn't it, this new year? We used to see people going about quite a lot, but it's quiet now, much quieter these last few years at new year. At night time, he can avoid the distractions of the busy day. Why does he goes at night. Why does he go alone? Why does he separate himself from his family? Why does he get alone with God? Does he know in advance that he's going to meet with God? The answer to that question is yes, he does. Yes. You know, isn't it true that sometimes you and I need to get alone with God? We need to get alone with God. Why do we need to get alone with God? Maybe there's an unconfessed sin. Something we've been doing, a way we've been behaving, that's hindering our relationship with God. We need to repent of it. We need to be humble, confess that we're unworthy before God. We need to get alone, repent, and be restored to fellowship. To learn different lessons. Sometimes we need to get alone with God to let him teach us. Sometimes there's sweet experiences when we get alone with God. We need to get alone with God, sometimes just to simply let him talk to us, to deal with us. We need to get alone so we can talk to him, to pray, to pour out our soul to God. Are you needing to get alone with God this evening? When last did you really get alone with God? Think about Abraham, when God made a covenant with him in Genesis chapter 15. He got alone. He was alone with God when God dealt with him and God spoke to him. Think of Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was alone in the wilderness at the mountain of God when God spoke to him from that burning bush and sent him to Pharaoh to set it so that the people of God could be set free. And think as well of the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told that in Matthew's Gospel, that after the death of John the Baptist, in Matthew and Mark's Gospel, after the death of John the Baptist, we read these words, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Luke's Gospel tells us that he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son, spent time in communion with his Heavenly Father. Now, if the Lord spends time alone with his Heavenly Father, how much more should you and I? Are you facing a challenge? I don't know. You have fear? Are you facing 2020 not very optimistic? Is there something in the church that bothers you? Can it be that your love has grown cold and you're like the church at Ephesus, where you've lost your first love and you need to repent? Are we concerned about the state of the church and the weakness of the church and the lack of influence that our church has on the nation? It's 99 years now since, mentioned it in the prayer this evening, 99 years since there was last a real move of the Spirit here in the days of Jock Troop back in 1921. And it's been so long, and are we concerned really about the situation now? And are we being led to pray? Are we being stirred up to pray? We need to get alone with God. History shows that the revivals and the spiritual movements were accompanied by prayer. It's always a pattern, revival and prayer, that go together. And then just what about our personal lives? Do we have important decisions to make in our own lives? We need to bring it to God and get alone with him. Or do we have decisions to make in the life of the church? We need to get together, but sometimes as well get alone with God. Jacob, what was his situation? Facing a crisis. What's my brother going to do? How's he going to react? Am I going to come out of this alive? Will he harm my family? Jacob was about to spend the night facing the crisis. So what's he do? He spends the night in solitary prayer and he gets alone before God and he pours it all out. He's returning to Canaan, but he's filled with fear of man. He's filled with doubts. Have you ever felt like that? How often have you felt like that? The evil one drives Jacob to despair. You felt like that, as the hymn says, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. We've all been through that, haven't we? Perhaps, say, God has sent to you this evening, get alone with me. Spend some less time with other things and other people. Get alone with me. Seek first the kingdom of God, says the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, how does it go? Upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Get alone with God. Maybe it's time to get alone with God. What is God saying to you this evening? Jacob, you can see, facing the crisis, facing the challenge, gets alone with God. And secondly, this evening we see Jacob wrestling. That's the word that's used here in the Bible, wrestling with God. The man, so he was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now let's just think him for a moment. You hear the word wrestling, what do you think of? I know some of the young boys that I've been working with in the schools that like to go through to Aberdeen, to the big halls, and see these big muscle men wrestling. Of course, if you're of a particular generation and you grew up in the, or you watched television in the 1970s or the 80s, you'll remember Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock, when you were waiting for the football results to come on, you'll remember professional wrestling. You remember these characters? Remember the names, Mick McManus and Kendo Nagasaki and Rollerball Rocco. And remember these, they always used to put these two enormous men on. Remember Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. Giant Haystacks was the big hairy caveman figure. And they used to put these two men on. They were great beast men, really. They would try and knock each other out of the ring with their huge stomachs. It was a physical contest. Who cared whether it was set up or not, but it was a physical context, and these men struggled with each other. Millions of people watched it, whether you're going to admit it or not, but the men would struggle, and it was a physical contest, and they'd struggle with each other. Some people have actually thought that Jacob just had a vision of God here in the account in Genesis 32. I believe, from the word that's used, I believe it's an actual physical context. Contest. Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. It's actually a physical contact and a physical contest. And I think, in fact, what follows shows that it was a physical contest, because we're then told that when the man saw he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. Jacob's hip was put out of joint. So the dislocation of his hip would indicate, indeed, would in fact confirms this was a physical contest. Now, who was this man that Jacob was wrestling with? Who was this man? Well, later on, our passage tells us Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face." And it's confirmed for us also in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 12 tells us about Jacob, that he strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. This is the angel of the Lord in human form. God in the flesh, many hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. This is the angel of the Lord. He appears several times in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Trinity. The angel of the Lord in human form. And he comes to Abraham in Genesis 18 to warn him of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we've seen in our studies how Joshua, haven't we? He comes to Joshua in Joshua chapter 5 before Joshua takes his people around the walls of Jericho. And then later on in the scripture in Daniel chapter 3, you've got the three men in the fiery furnace. And when the king, the despot, looks in, and he sees a fourth man there with the three men in the furnace. So this is the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Trinity in human form in the Old Testament. So that's the man that Jacob was wrestling with. While there's a physical struggle going on, there's more to it than that. There's a spiritual struggle. A spiritual struggle. If we're going to obtain God's blessing, very often you'll find that you need to struggle, and struggle in tears. Down through the years, God has been dealing with Jacob, shaping and molding his character to bring him to this particular point, shaping and molding his character to fulfill God's purpose for him as the father of the nation of Israel. He was dealing with him in Genesis chapter 28 at Bethel as he spoke to him through the dream. He dealt with him at Padan Aram when there was much conflict and hardship. And God is teaching Jacob not to rely on his own cleverness, but on God's grace and on God's strength. And it all comes to the climax, isn't it, in verse 26. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob is at the end of his tether, and he must rely on God. You know, God deals with his people in different ways. Very often it's through hard, tough experiences. How has God dealt with you over the years? how has God dealt with us? Different ways, harsh experiences. So sometimes he takes us through happy times as well, through blessed mountaintop experiences, but very often he'll shape us through harsh experiences. What's he been teaching us? How has he led us? How has he guided us? Sometimes the road can be painful and hard, but whom the Lord loves, the writer to the Hebrews says that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And God doesn't leave or forsake his people. As the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So sometimes it can be hard and dark experiences, but the Lord stands by, and the Lord is dealing with us and shaping us. How has God been dealing with you? God is dealing with us all, drawing us into a closer relationship with himself. That's what he's doing with Jacob. God wants us to trust in him, to lean on him. A well-known verse in the Psalms is, "Be still and know that I am God." But depending on which translation of the Bible you use, the New American Standard will say, "Cease striving." Instead of "be still," "cease striving and know that I am God." Go forward, not in your own strength, but in his. Jacob got alone with God. Jacob wrestled with God. And Jacob knew the blessing of God. The blessing of God. As I said, you cannot rewrite the last chapter. You cannot go back in time, in a time machine, and change history. But you can't write the next chapter. You can go forward. And Jacob is going to go forward. You can see he has a change of name. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. That's showing us there that God has been dealing with him. God has dealt with him. God has shown him what he has been. God has shown him what he has been, because he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob." He shows him what he will be. Your name will be Israel. Showing him what he has been and what he's going to be in the future. No longer is he going to be relying on his own clever schemes and his own cunning. He's going to be leaning on God. In order to gain victory, in order to gain blessing in our own Christian life, in order to gain blessing as a church, God must touch us, bring us down, humble us, so we lean more on him, less on ourselves. What happens with Jacob? He does meet with Esau, doesn't he? In chapter 33. There must have been a very touching scene in verses 4 and 5. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Esau's a changed man, and Jacob's doubts and fears have all been dealt with. Now, that would have been a touching sight, of course, and that's a wonderful to read that. But there's something greater happened here. Campbell Morgan, a preacher from the last century, said this: he called Jacob's experience the crippling that crowns. The crippling that crowns. It's not just a physical blessing. It's not just that Jacob's doubts and fears have been dealt with, but there's a spiritual blessing here. And the time of preparation down through the years now gives way to the time of fulfillment. Your name shall no longer be Jacob, you shall be called Israel. And God's promises are reaffirmed. Jacob is now ready to be the father of the nation. And while at home, Jacob would have served himself, and he would have created all sorts of problems. But for 20 years he's been away, and he served Laban, and he created further problems. But now he's going to serve God and become part of the answer, God's answer. And you see in verse 30, he says, he called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel translates as face of God. says, I've seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. Peniel translates then as face of God. So that shows, Peniel shows God's mercy. He thought that seeing God's face would bring death, but it actually brought him life. And a new day was beginning. It's a new day, and he had a new name, and he had a new relationship with God, and that new relationship with God would help him face the different and the difficult situations if he'll go forward in faith. And notice as well, of course, he ends this chapter with a limp, because the man has touched his hip socket, and he ends up with a limp, and the limp is there. It will always remind him of how God dealt with him. It's true to say, isn't it, at the end of this account here, that Jacob's body is weaker, but his faith is stronger. His body is weaker, but his faith is stronger. Now, I wonder this evening, do we need to get alone with God? Do we need to wrestle with God? I think we're needing more wrestlers in the church today. And I'm not speaking about Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks and these figures, but I think we need people to wrestle, to struggle with God, to really struggle to obtain the blessing. Do we need to wrestle with God? I think we do. You look at the state of our nation, you look at the international situation, you think of the situation and the state of the church throughout our land today. Do we need to wrestle with God regarding our own Christian life and witness? Has our love grown cold and we need to wrestle with God and get on our knees as David did of old after his adultery with Bathsheba and after his great sin? Say, Lord, restore to me the joys of your salvation. David wasn't content to leave it there. He got on his knees and he sought God. We'll keep on wrestling. The midweek meeting restarts again 7:30 this Wednesday evening. Come on down and wrestle with the people of God. Keep on wrestling. And has God been dealing with you? Well, let God have his way with you. Don't strive. Cease striving and know he is God. Let God transform you. Submit to him. Be part of his plan, as we were hearing this morning. Submit to him and his plan and do his will. Keep on wrestling that God will be honored and that God will be glorified. Amen. Let's close then by singing 763. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. 763.
Oh,
Now, Lord, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen.